What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to First Strike right here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next hour, we're going to break down everything from a very intriguing fight night tomorrow night as the Dominator is back in there, arguably one of the best bantamweights ever against Marlon Vera. He finds himself as a big underdog. Lou Finocchiaro, Jordan Sherwood, Reed Kuhn, and Kevin Ioli are going to help break it down here for the next hour on First Strike. So without further ado, let's bring in the man. You can find him on Twitter at Gamblue. He is Lou Finocchiaro and the host of the Bout Business Podcast. Lou, great to see you, my friend. You and I had the pleasure of talking on Tuesday on First Strike First Look. Here we are 3 days later, a day before we get to this big card. I know you really like this card. It's pretty deep and sneaky good. What have you made of the movement so far? It really hasn't been a ton of movement, but it looks like if any money's come in, it's come in a little bit on the favorite Marlon Vera in this main event.
It has. I think we could have probably expected a slight amount of accrual to him based on age alone, based on the fact that he holds the record for bantamweight finishes with a fraction of the amount of fights that Cruz has been in. But they're dynamically different talents. And if Cruz is going to win, he's going to do it by beguiling him, getting him frustrated, using his legs and deft movement abilities to make Vera miss and maybe make a mistake. And I think that's somewhat of a long shot for a guy at 37 years old, but it's surely interesting, the stylistic matchup. It's also, I think you got to give Dom Cruz a lot of credit because he's got a lot of fortitude stepping in there with this killer.
No doubt about it. And Lou, I'm trying to, as we like to do here on First Strike, is find pathways depending on which side you might like in the fight. And when I try to find the pathway for Dominic Cruz, it is what you mentioned there. And we talked about a little bit on Tuesday. He's got to use his knowledge, his brain a little bit, and kind of stay in and out against Marlon Vera. But Marlon Vera, even in that prospect, has a 2.5-inch reach advantage. So while we assume Vera would like this fight to go down to the ground, he actually has the longer reach. Is there any way that this stays a chess match on the feet and gives the Dominator a chance here?
The Dominator is banking on that. I assure you. I mean, as good as Cruz's wrestling is, I don't think he has any aspirations of taking the bigger man down. I think he has aspirations of trying to tire him out to a degree. Or we know Vera starts real slow, and that's been a critique of his since the Yadong fight. And so if Cruz comes out and steps on the gas and can bank two early rounds, all bets are off. So there's a lot of intrigue in this fight, and there's a path for Cruz to win. I just think that the age difference is going to come in at 135 pounds, way more so than it would at 265 pounds.
I look at the total as well, Lou, and you see 4.5 there, juiced heavily to the over, minus $1.80. But if you look here, the fight just to go the distance, minus 190, instead of playing the $1.80, would you not play the extra 10 cents just in case Dominic Cruz could get an upset win on the scorecards?
I don't. If that's how you believe, then I would encourage you to go that way. I happen to go the other way. I think that you go under. I think that if it's Vera's fight and he's the favorite, I think he has a shot of taking Cruz out. Cruz has been finished recently.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it's not the same Dominic Cruz that we've seen in years past when he was up there as one of the greatest bantamweights of all time. Yeah, I just don't see a scenario where the Dominator could get a finish in this one if it's going to be a finish. it would be the side of Chito Marlon Vera. That is for sure. I know that you do like this card because it is very deep. David Onama is a guy who feels like he's a fast tracker here, and he's got a big price tag now associated against Nate Landwehr here. Is this a little bit too much too soon, though, for Onama with this big $3 price tag?
We're going to find out. You know, I saw him wearing a little bit of bling. He's a Midwest guy, actually, from Omaha. His family's from Omaha. He fights with James Krause in Kansas City. We'll have to see how he manages all of this because he's in with a scrapper. The problem is that the scrapper has been touched early a couple of occasions, and he's gone out, and Onama just has lightning in each hand. So if the Landwehr can manage to be Forrest Gump and run in circles for 5 minutes and get this fight to the second round, I think he has a chance at being not only very competitive, but throwing an upset. I think Onama's prone to maybe gassing early. We'll have to see if Landwehr can weather the storm.
Well, I like where your head's at there, Lou. And to that end, about if Landwehr can survive the over there 1.5 rounds, it's juiced, minus $1.15. But look at the plus money you could get that this fight goes all three rounds at plus $1.65. Is that a nibble potentially that you might bite on?
Yeah, I think what I'd rather do, Dave, is get greedy and just hold off and watch that minus 115 on the 1.5. Get to plus 100, then I jump.
Now, every way you can maximize that dollar, I'm picking up what you're putting down there. I know that on Tuesday we talked about Devin Clark here, his fight against Azamat Mirzakhanov here, and apparently they had a bit of a run-in this week, Lou. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, and Devin said after that encounter, I know he wants to take my head off, but he didn't seem scared by that prospect here. So what do you make of this very intriguing fight with a relatively close line here?
Yeah, it is relatively close. It's actually back to where it started, minus 145 for the Russian and plus 125. Midweek, it percolated up, and actually, you could have had Devin Clark at plus 145. Anyway, the fact that he's a dog now still represents value, in my opinion, based on the fact that the Russian, and I'm only calling him a Russian because I don't want to butcher his last name, all due respect to Azmat. But the bottom line is this is his second UFC fight. And in his first, he was in against nominal talent and had to work hard to win. Meanwhile, Devin Clark arrives with momentum. He's got tremendous UFC experience on his opponent, as well as he's been in with much better. You add to that the fact that he's been training with Blades and Usman and Gaethje at Team Elevation for an 8-week camp. He left comfort, went to work hard. To me, I know that we're going to get the best Devin Clark we can get on Saturday. And for that reason, that's good enough for me to use him as an underdog.
And again, you see the plus money. If you think it's going to go over 2.5 rounds, plus $1.05. If you think it goes the distance, it's even juicier, plus $1.30. Is this a stoppage situation here? Or do you think he could win this, Clark could, with the upset on points? And if he does that, win by decisions, plus $2.75 for the underdog.
Yeah, I think either man can finish this. I would lean to this fight not going the distance.
All right, so don't get seduced by the juice on that one, so says Lou Finocchiaro. Let's talk a little bit about Priscilla Cachoeira against Ariana Lipsky here. Great nicknames here with Zombie Girl against the Queen of Violence in Lipsky. But this is so intriguing. We talked about it Tuesday. This was a fight that was supposed to be made last week. Lipsky didn't make weight, and then the fight was officially called off. And I do not know if she has to give up part of her purse in this fight, because it would seem to be unfair if one woman, Cachoeira, was ready to go a week ago and Lipsky was not. And now a week later, the price tag on the Queen of Violence has gone up. She's now minus $1.90. What are you making these change of numbers here in the last week?
I'm not quite sure what to make of them, except that the marketplace values Lipsky with rest. But let's not forget, a week ago, she missed weight and the fight was called off. So it was her that, or she, that overcame whatever it was she had to overcome to get here. Now, this isn't a 125-pound fight anymore. It's a 135-pound fight. So she stepped on the scale right away, made weight. Good for her. Looks good. Bottom line is, Cachoeira got on the scale and looked like Mike Tyson. She is filled out, and she's a wild, junkyard dog, mean gal, and I think she's wearing it that this fight's gotten pushed and everybody's trying to pamper Lipsky. Lipsky is a Muay Thai specialist that's straight, direct, more precise, much more the skilled, refined mixed martial artist than Cachoeira, no doubt about it. Cachoeira is a bricklaying junkyard dog, and I think she's the more desperate gal. Both gals, 3 and 4 in the UFC, they're fighting to remain. I love the position on Cachoeira. I also like the Cachoeira inside the distance for a little sprinkle at plus 500.
Wow, I love that win by finish there, 5-1. And again, two of the top five nicknames, I think, with Zombie Girl against the Queen of Violence. Bruno Silva, Gerald Meerschaert, this is an interesting matchup here with Gerald plus 240 in this matchup against Silva. Is this appropriately priced or is there value on the dog here?
Well, I think there's some value on the underdog here. It's a great, again, great stylistic matchup. All you did, you saw to Bruno Silva, was him go in against Alex Pereira, who's going to fight now Izzy Adesanya in the last fight, undaunted, unafraid, and fought him tooth and nail. I mean, in that loss, all I do is gain more respect for Bruno Silva. But Bruno Silva is primarily a striker. Meerschaert is still improving his striking, but in his last fight against Jacko, he went to decision. So we can see that improvement, but in no way, shape, or form is he designing to stand and trade with Bruno Silva. He needs to get the wet mat around him, get him into the fence, get him down to the floor, and try and submit him. Listen, Meerschaert's a submission specialist, and 5 of Bruno Silva's 7 losses have been by submission.
Lou, before we wrap it up here, there is a rumor going around that you got Funkadelic last night and saw George Clinton in concert. When you're not breaking down MMA fights, what was the concert like?
The concert was outstanding. There were a couple of good bands beforehand, but George Clinton, 81 years old, he's got 20 people on stage with him. Every one of them an unbelievable musician. You had trombones, drums, bongos, electric guitar. It was outstanding. I don't do it very often because the old saddle body can't take it much like that anymore, but I got through it and we got through this. So I sure appreciate you guys having me on. I wish everybody have a great experience with the fights tomorrow.
Absolutely love it, Lou. As always, love having you on the network and certainly on First Strike each and every week. There he is, everybody. Follow him on Twitter at Gamblew and check out the podcast, The Bout Business Pod. When we come back, Jordan Sherwood joins us from the great city of Chicago. Come on back. It's First Strike on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep expert. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You're going to be able to bet on more than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and futures for all MMA events. Eligibility restrictions do apply, so see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for the full terms and conditions. Back here on First Strike, I am Dave Ross, joined by Jordan Sherwood out of the great city of Chicago. Follow him on Twitter as I do, at WoodOn1063. Jordan, always great to catch up with you. We're not going to talk any White Sox on this pod, because I know it's been depressing there. But I know that your pod is booming there in Chicago. I know it still doesn't have a name, but tell the people about it and how they can access it very quickly.
Yeah, on the ESPN Chicago app. It's called the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Myself and Adam Abdallah, every single week, break down the UFC fights. We give you our selections, who we think is going to win the fight, maybe some special props that are out there. Chicago theme. We like to have some Chicago, you know, based fighters on the card. So we did have Juliana Pena 2 weeks ago before her fight with Amanda Nunes. Hope to talk to Bilal Muhammad before his big fight against Sean Brady coming up later this year. So Chicago themed as always. And maybe we've got to have Patty the Batty because he's doing the Chicago tour right now, eating all the food, getting fat. So
yeah,
we'll see. And, Never know.
And as you mentioned on Twitter, he did that shot of Malort. Anybody in Chicago, it's a rite of passage. It's not fun. And he didn't seem to handle it very well. Neither did the meatball Molly McCann. Let's get to this fight card here, Jordan. Let's talk about some of the fights that I know that you like on here. I mentioned with Lou in the first segment here, Devin Clark, he basically said he had a run-in with Azamat Mirzakhanov this week and said basically he wants to kill me. So he didn't seem daunted by it. But what do you make of Devin Clark in this spot here, nonchalantly saying that there's some bad blood between these two?
Yeah, I think me and Gamlu are on opposite ends of this. I think Mirzakhanov is a very special fighter. The UFC's had their eyes on him for quite a while. He's had several fights that have been canceled. Very well-rounded, obviously going to have a good background in wrestling. Flashed an impressive knockout after a lethargic probably 2.5 rounds in his UFC debut. And look, Devin Clark is a grinder. His wrestling probably is going to test Mirzakhanov. This is the best wrestler that Mirzakhanov has ever seen. But what have we seen about Devin Clark? The moment that he gets touched, the moment things get a little bit physical from the striking standpoint, he goes into hibernation or his lights go out. And I think we underrate how explosive, even though it was a flying knee knockout that Mirzakhanov had in his UFC debut, just how kind of, you know, special from a striking standpoint he is. So I love him right now on the money line at $1.70, $1.65. I think that the wrestling is going to cancel each other out. He's going to be able to handle the grind, handle the Devin Clark style of fight, and at some point in it, touch Devin Clark in the chin and put his lights out. So I think he wins the fight, and likely he also wins it inside the distance.
Well, you just answered my next question, because I see that juicy plus $1.30 for the fight to go to the distance for two guys that like to get on the ground and grapple. But you mentioned there, Mirzakhanov might just go ahead and get that KO, TKO, or DQ. So you could turn that negative, that minus, into a plus $1.40. Would you lean that way if you think he's going to get the finish that way instead of maybe potentially going for a sub or riding out a decision victory?
Yeah, I think Mirzakhanov is frustrated, not just in Devin Clark, just his inability to get a fight. I mean, it was his opponents that canceled the fights when he was trying to make his UFC debut. So he's on borrowed time, even though he's relatively young. He's an undefeated fighter, again, that the UFC had their eyes on for quite some time. And look, I think you play the total based on who you think is going to win the fight. If you like the over, well, then obviously you think Devin Clark's going to grind out a fight, get the win in the later rounds, or get his hand risen by the judges' scorecards. If you like the under, like me, you're on Mirzakhanov, who's going to get a finish at some point in the fight.
Well, we saw last week an historic week of fights where I believe all 11 fights were stopped. We didn't have one go to the cards, which I know is going to make the boss man, Dana White, very happy. You've identified another fight here, Josh Quinlan against Jason Witt, that maybe this one, too, will not hit the cards. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. And actually, well, it was supposed to be last week, so it would have been number, what,
12 or 12, yeah,
that I thought actually hit. I just think that again, Josh Quinlan, another undefeated fighter, explosive. It wasn't a weigh-in issue that prevented this fight from happening a week ago. It was a drug test, some metabolites within Quinlan's system that didn't get him regulated. Well, now he is. He fights Jason Witt, and what we've seen about Jason Witt, if you get off to a fast start and you're able to touch the chin of Jason Witt, his lights do go out. And I think Josh Quinlan does do that. I think he's explosive enough to overwhelm Jason Witt. You know, this is a catchweight fight, so maybe there's a little bit of mythology about Jason Witt's going to be able to survive with that extra weight and utilize his wrestling. But I'm not on that. I think there's a quick finish in this fight. Josh Quinlan is special. Jason Witt's likely on his way out of the UFC. So I think Quinlan wins, as I always tell you, Dave, he wins violently at some point in the first, first round and a half of this fight.
You know, I want to stay in this theme of finishes here because I see one fight that you've identified where you could turn a, you know, got to lay almost, what, $3.50, $3.30 right now on Gabriel Benitez against Charlie Oliveira, Ontiveros. Ontiveros right now plus 275. But you don't want to lay the $3.30. You've got a scenario to turn that into a huge plus price tag to 9-1. The people what you think might happen here with Benitez.
Yeah, I think Gabriel Benitez, you know, again, up and down career, certainly in the UFC, you know, he's got a kind of a gatekeeper for the UFC, but he's got a very good guillotine, got a good, very good wrestling base. And Oliveira, for some reason, thinks a style of fighting of putting your hands down and going into fire is the right way to approach it. And it's just not. So what I think is Benitez is going to give him that fight. They're going to go into a phone booth. There's going to be fire. And then at some point, Benitez is going to land one and then not finish the fight via TKO, but he's going to look to grab a neck and get a quick submission. We've seen Benitez do that before. So I like that scenario. And at 9-1, you're right. 330, too big of a price for Benitez on a straight money line. So let's get cute. Let's get stylistic. Benitez, to win via submission at 9-1.
I think those are very astute ways to turn possibly, you lay 330, the upset happens, and your whole night card, it could be ruined. Instead, play the 9-1 in the prop scenario and really can turn that into a very profitable evening if that comes through as a long shot. But I like the idea there of the possibility of turning the big negative into a big positive. I want to stay with that theme as well, where possibly you might get a stoppage in the co-main event of the evening. We talked a little bit about David Onama. He feels like a rising star here in the UFC, but Nate Landwehr is not going to be an easy out, but you do think somebody might get finished here before we get to 2.5 rounds.
I do. I mean, I'm also high on David Onama. I think the UFC put him in this spotlight to showcase his striking. I mean, he is enormous for this featherweight division, and he hits like a ton of bricks. Nate Landwehr has been stopped in his two losses in the UFC by Herbert Burns and Julian Arosa. Now, granted, Nate Landwehr looked fantastic against Ludwig Klein, a guy that we have a lot of respect for on this show, his last time out. So I really think it's going to be an early finish for David Onama. Kind of, like we just talked about with the Devin Clark fight, you know, first round, round and a half, he's going to land something and Landwehr's lights are going to go out, or Onama's going to tire because he's carrying so much weight for the division that Nate Landwehr's going to be able to utilize his wrestling, his grappling, and get a stoppage midway of the fight. But I think Onama, this is his spotlight. There's a reason why they put him in this position at the co-main event. They think he's going to get an impressive knockout, and I expect that's going to happen. He's going to knock out Nate Landwehr in the first round, round and a half.
Jordan, you know me by now. I'm a sucker for the old guys and the old ladies in fighting here. I like to root for the fighters we've seen for years. Dominic Cruz certainly fits that bill. They always say a great fighter has one great fight left in him. Does Dominic Cruz have one great fight left in him, or are we passing the torch here possibly to Chito Vera?
Can it be both?
Yeah.
Look, I have so much respect for Dominic Cruz. I was in the arena when he won the WC Bantamweight title in Columbus at WC 47. Yeah, and actually took some photos with him in the post bar afterwards, but that's beside the point. Look, I just think that Marlon Vera is certainly on the come up. His last two fights, the fights against Jose Aldo and the fight against Frankie Edgar, where he had an impressive front kick knockout, have prepared him for a fight like this that's going to be mainly contested on the feet. He's going to have to pressure, which is suitable for Marlon Vera. He's going to have to land some significant strikes and land some leg kicks, which will cause some problems for Dominic Cruz. If this was 5 years ago, Dominic Cruz, with his movement, his footwork, some of the best we've ever seen, Dominic Cruz all day. He's a tad bit slower at 36 years of age. So I think Marlon Vera does enough, but on the judges' scorecard, not the prolific finisher that we know Marlon Vera to be. We're going to the judges' scorecards, the over, but Marlon Vera is going to get his hand raised. I think he's just going to outpoint, outwork, and really have the more physical strikes, significant strikes in this fight to warrant him getting his hand raised on the judges' scorecard.
We got about 30 seconds to go here. You do think this goes over 4.5 rounds right now. It's still juiced heavily at minus $1.80. Is there another way that you might play it, or do you think this does go to decision? And if you think Cruz somehow gets an upset, minus $1.90, does that safeguard you in case we get some quirky scoring?
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I like Marlon Vera plus money as to win via decision. I safeguard myself just to go the over at 3.5. in case, you know, Marlon Vera lands something at, you know, in the latter stages of the round. But I think we're going full five, and I think Marlon Vera is going to move on and get another big opportunity his next fight out.
I think you're right on. I like the tendency to here to go towards the over as Ward. Jordan, always appreciate the time. Enjoy Chicago. Don't talk about the White Sox. We'll talk more MMA next week back here on First Strike. When we come back, Kevin Ioli joins the program. It is First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Want more betting insights to give you an edge? Well, check out VSiN's Best Bets podcast. You can listen to daily sports betting highlights from the entire 24/7 stream of VSiN experts, tracking line moves, odds, props, wins, losses, bad beats from sportsbooks in Vegas and across the entire country. So download the VSiN Best Bets podcast now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. Dave Ross back here on VSiN on First Strike. Always a pleasure to have Kevin Ioli back in the program. Does a great job covering combat sports for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter as I do at Kevin I. I see that yellow shirt. I'm assuming that is a Pittsburgh Steelers shirt. Mom will be disappointed that you don't go to West Virginia in neighboring Wheeling, West Virginia, just about an hour away. But Kevin, great to have you on, my friend. Let's talk about some of the ladies' action that we see on this card. And I want to start off with Ariana Lipsky against Priscilla Cachoeira here, because this is a fight that was supposed to happen a week ago. Ariana does not make the weight. Then the fight is officially scrapped, postponed till this week. In that week, the numbers have gone up. Now the Queen of Violence is up as high as $1.90, I'm seeing here. When about a week ago, maybe you could have got it around $1.60. What's changed, if anything, to you in the handicap of this fight? And I kind of look at it from Cachoeira's point of like, man, I made weight last week, and now we kind of had to acquiesce to Ariana Lipsky. Does that factor in at all this week later, putting it off for a week?
I think a little bit, but, you know, the thing is they did have plenty of time to rehydrate and kind of get back. But, you know, for fighters who have trouble making weight, that can be an issue, right? You know, to have to cut weight two times in 1 week. But they do it on practice cuts and all that, so I think they're used to it. So, you know, as far as I feel, Dave, I don't think it's going to have that much of an impact here. But we're in a fight with two fighters who really need the win. You know, they're fighters that both had a lot of promise when they came to the UFC, and they've kind of had ups and down careers. And I think, you know, they're both sitting there looking at, hey, a win would do them a lot of good for being able to continue as a UFC fighter.
Yeah. And so when you look at this here, and we don't want to say that the loser is going to be out of the UFC, but they are feeling that pressure here of potentially knowing it could be coming to an end. Does that favor the brave here in Cachoeira, maybe more of the wild style fighter, and she's going to try to put on a show? Or do you think Lipsky maybe can grind her out a little bit and go towards a decision victory? Right now, if you think the fight does go the distance, it's minus $1.50.
Yeah, I think it goes the distance, number one. You know, let's start with that. I think that, you know, neither of these girls is going to finish the other, right? So I'll start that way. I think we're going the distance. And, you know, I like the Queen of Violence, Ariana Lipsky here. And I think she's just a better overall fighter. She has more tools. Now, she has not performed to the level that in the UFC that we've seen her perform outside the UFC. I don't know if she's not dealing with the pressure very well or what it is, but, you know, there's fights that you expect her to win. They expect her to look good in, and she has not done that. But she is really looking down the barrel of being cut. Let's be totally honest here. She loses this fight, and this could be it for her UFC career. She has all the tools she needs to win this fight. I think she'll pull it out.
That it really is interesting. And the women know that both these ladies here want to stay and get another contract in the UFC. So there will be pressure to put on a show and possibly get that win. But I'm with you on that with Lipsky. Maybe the week off is going to do her some good. Overkill Hill is back in here. Whenever Angela fights, it's normally exciting one way or the other against Lupe Godinez here. And Lupe is minus 325. What do you make of that matchup? I know when you look at a veteran like Angela Hill, people might gravitate towards that plus 270 price tag here. Do you think there is a live dog scenario at play?
I do not. I really like Godinez. You know, I think her wrestling is fantastic. I mean, she's really in good condition. I think I have her in my personal pound for pound list of the best UFC women. I think that's how good she is. I mean, I think she's really starting to take off. And I think she is really going to have a big time with Hill. You know, I think she'll take her down a lot. I could see her finishing, but I think it goes to a decision. So I like Godinez in this bout by decision.
And that's the way you can get a better price tag on this if you don't want to lay the 325. With Lupe here in this fight, if the fight does go to the decision, and look, a lot of the women's fights tend to go to the cards, although last week we saw all 11 fights be finished. That way, look at that. You win by decision here, you cut that more than half, minus $1.50. So you think that's the better way to get a value play on Lupe in this fight?
I really do, because I think, you know, she is going to wrestle Angela. You know, Angela, you know, likes to tend to strike and whatnot. But I think if she and if she does, she's not a finisher herself. Right. And I think at some point that wrestling ability that Lupe has is going to kick in, and she's going to put Angela on her back. And Angela, as you said in the intro to this fight, you know, she's a veteran. She knows what she's doing. She's able to get herself out of tough spots. So I don't think that Lupe finishes her, but I think you'll see her really beat her up pretty bad, have her on the ground, have a lot of control time. And so to me, like, I look and, you know, Lupe's not a finisher from a striking standpoint. I don't think Angela is going to finish her. So I think that really just makes you gravitate toward Lupe by decision, because you go, hey, I don't want to lay that kind of money on Lupe to win when I don't think she's going to be a finisher. So I like her by decision.
Yeah, bang for the buck there. If you like the favorite, that's a good way to lower that price tag on the big favorite in that one. Let's get to the main event here. And Kevin, you and I have watched enough boxing through the years here. You got the old Matador versus the Bull scenario here is what it feels like with Dominick Cruz against Chito Vera. You know, Marlon wants to come forward and he's going to want to try to get this fight down on the ground and slow down Dominick Cruz and all that movement. You start getting up there in age at 37 and sometimes you lose a step. How do you see this playing out? And do you think Dominick Cruz still has the skill set to frustrate a veteran in his own right at 29 now in Marlon Vera?
Yeah, you know, I look at Cruz and, like, he fought twice in 2021. You know, one of them, he kind of struggled with Casey Kenney, a fight that I thought he should have been able to win. But, you know, I think it was the first time in 5 years that he's fought twice in 1 year. And I think that's going to be huge for Cruz. Everybody I know, everybody and their brother is on Marlon Vera. And I like Cruz, right? And I just think that that footwork, that in-and-out style, it's going to frustrate Chito. And I think, you know, Chito certainly has every tool he needs to win this fight, and he has it to win impressively. Like, what he did to Rob Font was really amazing. Rob Font's a badass guy, and Chito Vera just pummeled him and really put him out. But I think Dominick is a different kettle of fish, right? And Dominick's a smart guy, and he knows how to work guys like this that are big strikers. I could be way wrong here, but I'm going to go ahead and take the plus, and I like Dominick Cruz to win at plus 200.
You know, I look at this too, and obviously with the fight being in San Diego, I'll be very interested to see how the crowd reacts, but you know how this works sometimes with the big underdog now, and arguably one of the greatest bantamweights of all time in Dominick Cruz. He gets that crowd behind him. He frustrates Vera in the first couple rounds. not going to compare this to, say, Hagler Leonard of 87, where a lot of people don't think Sugar Ray won that fight, but he frustrated the Matador in that situation, or the Bull in that situation, in Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Could you see that, where he frustrates Vera because Vera just can't get to him?
Now, you know, Vera has a good coach in Jason Perullo, who's a boxing background, and I think he's going to be able to talk to him about it. But, like, you think of the Leonard Hagler fight, and what did Ray do? He got Marvin fighting right-handed, totally out of what he normally did. Marvin was a southpaw, rarely fought right-handed. And he went into that fight against Ray, and he ends up, you know, because he wasn't sure of himself, you know, he went ahead and he fought right-handed a lot of times, and that played into Ray's hands. I think Dominic is similar in that sense, in that, you know, he is such a smart fighter, and you're always trying to think, okay, what's Cruz trying to do here? You know, because he's so slick and has so much going on. You know, I could be totally wrong, and Vera's physicality could just, you know, blow Cruz out of the water. But I don't think you often see Cruz blown out of the water. And I think in the situation that he's in right now, I like him to win this. I think it's, you know, he can't afford to make any mistakes. You know, he's walking that tightrope. But I think he can get across the canyon and get to the decision victory.
And that's what I'm leaning towards as well. I know it's juiced heavily right now, minus $1.80, 4.5 rounds. But I do kind of like that overplay for those reasons. Yes, Cruz has been finished more recently here, but he's still tough to get out of there if Vera can't get those takedowns, which is what he would need, you would think, to get one of those subs possibly. I'm surprised that it's 7-1 for a sub for Vera and 3-1 for the KO, TKO, or DQ. I know Vera's got the longer arms, but if you went the other way of the big favorite, wouldn't you see submission more than a KO, TKO if this fight was going to end early?
I don't know. I would disagree with that, Dave. You know, I think this is a fight. If Marlon wins it, you know, he's going to win it by overpowering Dom, right? And, you know, he's a big, strong bantamweight. He's a guy that can hang in there with much. And Dom's not that. Even though Dom has fought in his career at 155, this is the right weight class for Dom, right? He makes this weight easily. He's not a big, thick guy. And Marlon hits really hard. So I think if I was going to play Vera, you know, instead of submission, I would go ahead with the finish.
All right, since we only have about 30 seconds to go, Kevin, but since we got on the boxing tangent there, I'm excited for the September 17th bout between Canelo and Triple G here. They're going to get back in there. I look up, I see Canelo's minus 450. Is that priced right?
It's, you know, Gennady is 40 years old right now, and it looked bad against Morata. You know, he won the fight by knockout, but the first four or five rounds didn't look good. I think it's going to be a more compelling fight than people think, but I think Canelo is deservedly a big favorite.
This is why he does a great job covering combat sports for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Kevin I. Kevin Ioli, always appreciate it, even if I don't like the Steelers.
I love him, baby. Here we go.
Come on back. Reed Kuhn joins us from Washington, D.C. It is First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
We'll be right back. We roll on First Strike here on VSiN. Dave Ross, and it is a pleasure to be joined each and every week by Reed Kuhn. Follow him at Fightnomics on Twitter. He's the author of a book of the same name. Reed, great to have you back in the program. I know last weekend you weren't as attentive to the fights because you were out of the country. How was vacay?
Vacay was good. It was sweaty being in the Caribbean in August, but there were no hurricanes. So you always roll the dice that way. So I got back just fine.
Yeah, perfect. Good to have you back in Washington, D.C. Let's talk about this fight card here. And one fight that I know that you've already looked at here, and we always mention this each and every week, you really do break this down by the numbers to find the best edges that you can in these fights. And one fight that we haven't talked about is Cynthia Calvillo against Nina Nunes here. This is a fight that was supposed to happen earlier. It's been backed up and postponed a couple times, and now here we are. What do you make of this matchup here, and who do you think has the advantage when you break it down by the numbers?
Yeah, this matchup is interesting, first of all, because you have people that are switching weight classes. You have Calvillo, who has fought at bantamweight. She's now at flyweight. You have Nunes, who's been at strawweight, moving up. Now, they're not hugely different sizes, but that experience, that you know, having Calvillo earn her statistics against much larger people tells me the numbers on that page are believable because she's not fighting the same threat that she was fighting before. So that gives me a little bit of a lean there. Now, we're not accounting for that in the quant stuff here, but just straight up, Calvillo has been dominant on the mats. And when you look across this card for the best wrestlers, or at least the most effective wrestlers, the people who have spent time controlling opponents, Calvillo comes out on top. And that's with Dominic Cruz on the same card. Now, he's right there with her in terms of logging minutes, controlling people with his wrestling. But Calvillo is definitely a grappling threat, and I love to bet on wrestlers. And Nunes does not want to go there. You know, her takedown defense is good, but is it enough to stand up against a few takedowns, maybe against the fence, against someone who's used to lifting bigger opponents? So that's what makes me go with Calvillo here. I know I'm going to have to lay a little juice on that, but that's fine with me. I think she's a bankable favorite.
-$1.90 right now as it stands here as we get closer and closer to fight day. Another fight that I'm very intrigued because, again, sometimes when you have younger fighters in the UFC, you look at whether or not you have enough data on them. So when I see that one crosses the finish line for you, I get excited. When I see Ode Osborne here, -250 against Tyson Nam, +210 in the comeback. Is there a live dog play here, or is the favorite the rightful one?
I like the favorite here. I think Osborne is one of several fighters that I'm going to be really watching for the first time because now I'm backing them and I pay a lot more of attention then. You got to wait for them to have a few fights before I can even look at those numbers. So the performance metrics, we'll see if they stick and they are true to what he has done so far. But so far, he has been very aggressive and very accurate. He's going to be much, much rangier than his opponent. He's obviously younger, like you said. He's got a youth advantage over Tyson Nam. But I think Osborne here is the better striking threat. He's going to be crisper at range. He also has a ground game, believe it or not. So, you know, he's the more likely fighter to want to take this to the ground. Meanwhile, Tyson Nam has racked up minutes. He has yet to actually land a takedown in the UFC. So I don't see that trumping the striking of Osborne. So if this is a fight that's going to be at range, I'm going to go with a young, rangy guy who's very accurate to date and hope that he continues that streak.
Let's stay with a guy I know you have a lot of data on with the GM3 back in there, Gerald Meerschaert against Bruno Silva. Meerschaert right now, +240 on the comeback here. Would you back the vet in this spot?
Yeah, so this is tricky. When these lines came out, I didn't know a lot about Bruno Silva. And looked at this from a purely quantitative standpoint and believed that Silva was the favorite. But where we are, where the price has gone, this is a value play for me. Do I really think Meerschaert gets the upset? You know, from a purely probabilistic standpoint, no. You know, I think he has a less than 50% chance of winning. However, I think he has a better than market value chance of winning. So this is a value play. Meerschaert is a crafty veteran. Like I mentioned before, he has been one of those fighters who has spent a long time on the mat controlling opponents. And when you do that, you don't take damage. You tend to win that round, usually, if you can string it together for a few minutes. And you've nullified the best weapons of your opponent. Now, Silva, to his credit, has been very accurate. The age difference here is marginal. The reach advantage is actually with Meerschaert. So, you know, it's kind of a wash on the feet. Meerschaert is damaged, though. I will say that. He has been knocked down more so than he has dished it out. But I'm hoping that the ground game is where this transitions. And if he fights smart, which veterans tend to do, hopefully, We might see this go to the ground and it might start to become more of a boring fight. However, I do also think that there's a lot of finishing potential here on both sides. Mearshart could get clipped. He could also find a submission.
You know, Reed, let's expand on that a little bit, because I think when people hear that for you, it becomes a value play. Can you explain that when you look at the numbers and then you see the price tag? Is it that the numbers to you say, ooh, it's so mispriced that then becomes a play that you could back the dog on?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be so mispriced. Sometimes you get a rare occasion where the expected probability of an underdog is greater than 50%.
Okay.
Then it becomes obvious. In this case, we have a guy who is a long shot, and we think he shouldn't be a long shot. It's a coin flip.
That's a really good way of looking at it here. So when you see that price tag there and you have it closer to a coin flip, that's where it becomes the value play here on GM3 here at plus 240. As we sit a day before we get to the fight card. I think right now on the panel, if you will, here on First Strike, it feels a little bit split on what we might see from Priscilla Cachoeira against Ariana Lipsky here, the Queen of Violence, against Zombie Girl. What are the numbers showing you? This is a fight that, again, was supposed to happen a week ago. It gets backed up to this week after Lipsky missed weight, but now she's being installed as almost even a bigger favorite at minus $1.90. What are the numbers showing you?
Yeah, I liked Lipsy here. There were some red flags, obviously, when she missed weight, and then the fight got canceled. I don't know what's going on with the whole medical clearance thing, but simply on paper, she seemed like the more bankable favorite here. She's younger, she's bigger, she fights very aggressively versus Cachoeira, who is a little bit more hesitant. She allows opponents to lead the dance, and that's usually not a good thing in terms of winning that round. And so for Lipsky, who is aggressive and is active and is dangerous with her hands, she has three knockdowns already, fighting a much older opponent. Those are all nice ingredients for a bankable favorite. And then, you know, on the ground, she has been more effective there. Cachoeira has simply not controlled opponents. I mean, she's been controlled 95% of the time, which is to say she has almost never been in control herself. So that is a lot of advantages all lining up for the favorite. So I still think there's a bit of value on Lipsky here. Again, not accounting for what might be going on outside the cage. I'm just looking at this from a purely numeric point of view.
Absolutely. So again, if you think the fight could go the distance, if Lipsky can control it, that's minus 150 for Lipsky to win by decision, plus $1.40. Let's get to that main event here. Dominic Cruz, boy, do you have data on the Dominator. And certainly you have a lot on Chito Vera at this stage as well. You know, I always wonder how much a guy has left in the tank. What are the numbers showing you? Is this a live dog for Dominic Cruz?
Yeah, this is another situation where you almost never see me betting on a much older fighter. And we do have a significant age gap here. But then again, you also normally hear me favoring for the wrestler. And Cruz is a wrestler first. His kind of high volume point striking on the feet has never really impressed me. I think the fact that he fights very smart has impressed me. He definitely has that fight IQ, what you would expect of someone who is also an analyst and watching other fighters from cage side. So from the numbers, man, look at the most important thing, share of time in control on the ground, 94% for Cruz, 33% for Vera. So when Vera is on the ground, more often than not, other people are controlling him. And so he is susceptible to wrestling. And Cruz, on the other hand, has been very effective at wielding wrestling on the mat. So yes, there are submissions from Vera, but wrestling is kind of that, you know, that universal card that you play against a submission ace. You know, you apply a lot of top pressure and you fight conservative and smart. And Cruz is that kind of guy. So there is risk here. Cruz has been dropped four times. He's 37 years old. Those are definitely red flags. He has a history of being evasive, though. His head strike defense is very good. You wonder if time is going to catch up with him, though. People are going to start to time him eventually. There is risk here. But again, like you said before, where's value? When someone is a steep underdog and I see it as more of a coin flip, that's where I believe value is. And you will win those bets and you get bigger payouts. You're also going to lose a few of them. But the overall return, I think, is going to be positive.
You know, Reed, I do get excited sometimes when I look at a fight in a particular way and I kind of see it the same way. At least your numbers would tell you. Do you lean to the over? I know it's juiced heavily here, -$1.80, because I kind of like the over 4.5 here, thinking that if Dom can get that control time, he probably isn't going to get a finish in Marlon Vera, but might be able to ride out a fight that goes the distance.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he is a game vet, and you know, barring one of those finishes like we saw with Frankie Edgar and Vera, you know, like a front kick knockout, you're not going to survive that. If you get hit with one of them, you're going to be dropped. Cruz might take damage. He might get beat up. He's been dropped in the past and still finished the fight. So I think he's fairly tough and resilient, and he's highly motivated. I'm going to go the over here. I'm going to maybe use the over 2.5 in parlays. I might even take a sprinkle on the go to decision.
Ooh, I like that. Minus 190 if the fight goes to the decision. Minus 180 for 4.5 rounds. Reed, always appreciate the time and the information, my friend. Again, follow him on Twitter at Fightnomics. I want to thank Reed, Kevin Ioli, Jordan Sherwood, and Lou Finocchiaro. Enjoy the fights, everybody. We'll see you next week back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.